you have your Bibles, let's open them just to about three verses tonight. We're in Matthew chapter 2. And if you're a new Christian and you want to read the Christmas story on Christmas morning, especially you ladies, before you open that three-carat new diamond ring or that that tennis diamond bracelet, or maybe you young people go outside and see that brand new car with the ribbon on it, or something like that, you may want to read the passage. It's Matthew 1 and 2, and then it's also Luke 1 and 2. So that would be the Christmas passage. So let's notice here, and just a little thought, got a little visual aid here this evening as well. Matthew chapter 2, and if you'd be so kind to put your phones in honor of God and His Word on vibrate or on silent, I've got mine on silent right now. Matthew 2, verse 1, and the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem," interesting, Bethlehem means house of bread. And Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." Isn't that good? The bread of life was born in the house of bread to feed the emptiness inside of every one of us. I love that. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. "Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Then if you'll skip down to verse number 11. "And when they were come into the house," notice the wording, "they saw the young child." They didn't see the baby Jesus. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Father, bless this brief time we have. We've tried to honor you tonight. People have spent hours trying to praise you and honor your name in music, whether they played instruments or they sang, and we're grateful. You're worthy of a whole lot more honor than that. And one day up in heaven in our new bodies, we'll talk about you and sing about you forever, and time will never run out. I pray you'd bless our hearts. Help each person represented here tonight. We don't have just church and go home. Life is hard. We all have burdens. We've got pressures. We have responsibilities. We have heartaches. Sadness is amplified this time of the year, and we sure need you. Speak to our hearts. Say something to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I am not against the nativity scene where we show Mary with the baby, Joseph. By the way, Joseph gets very little attention. E-R-A. Anyway, but here's Mary and Joseph and the baby. We have the shepherds and the wise men. The wise men were not at the original nativity. They were late. And we imagine they were up to 2 years late. So I'm not against it. It's not blasphemy or sacrilegious. If you've got a manger scene and the wise men are there, they weren't there. They followed the star. Someone said if it was three wise women, they'd have been on time. And they would have stopped and asked for directions. They wouldn't have been lost. And they would have given more practical gifts than gold and frankincense and myrrh to a little baby. Yet, we believe they were probably about 2 years late. And that's why the scripture says they went to the house. They didn't go to the manger. By that time, Joseph had secured a local job, and baby Jesus was out of the manger. He's now a young child. We know that because when the king got angry, he killed every child age 2 and under. So we imagine Jesus was maybe age 2 at that time. That this is just introduction because the message is brief. But the introductory thought is this: you're never too late. You're never too late. Hey, they made it. They didn't see him when he was first born. They didn't see him in the manger, but they did see young child Jesus. You're never too late. And I don't know where you are, maybe emotionally or spiritually in your life right now, but I just want to tell you, if you feel like that's too late for me, you're wrong. It's never too late. It's never too late. I want to say this during Christmas season. It's never too late to say I'm sorry to somebody. I was 19 when my dad told me those words. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for missing everything. I'm sorry. You know, it wasn't too late for me. I was glad he said them. And I said them back, and I wasn't even sorry. But age 19, it's never too late to say I'm sorry. It's never too late to get saved. Whether someone's 90 or 100 or 103, and they're just barely rolling their wheelchair in that rest home, Jesus still saves people. You can be maybe 4 or 5 or young. You can be up over 100, and Jesus still saves. It's never too late to give your heart to Jesus Christ. It's never too late to serve. You say, well, Pastor, I've wasted my life. I've never done anything for God. Hey, plenty of people are needed. There's still a lot to do in this nation, in our city, in our state, our country, and the world. It's never too late to serve. It's never too late to surrender and give your all to the Lord. Ask Nicodemus. It's never too late. Ask Caleb, age 80. He served the Lord. Never too late. But I want to give you this thought tonight, the question they asked. Here's what these wise men asked. They said, where is he? They were looking for the right person that is born King of the Jews. It's a strange question. You say, how come? No one was ever born, ever, a king. That's not how you became a king, ever. If your daddy was the king and he kicked the, if he passed away, you became the king. Or if you killed the king, kind of like that king of the mountain thing. You remember you pushed someone off a chair and you were the king. If you killed the king, you were a king. No one was ever born a king. So why did they ask that question? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Takes us back to history for a moment. There have been several captivities where God judged the nation of Israel. One of those captivities was called the Babylonian captivity. Went over there in Iraq and Iran, a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He took over. And he brought Israel into slavery. They lost much of the family lineage and genealogies. And then when Herod, the wicked, evil king in Jesus' day, took over, he publicly burned all the genealogies and family trees of the Jews. So no one knew who was related, and no one would ever know who was supposed to be the next king. So here it is. You look in the book of Luke, and we see Abraham all the way down to David, the king. David's son, David's son, David's son, David's son. In the life of Mary, the Virgin Mary. Then you look in Matthew, the family tree of Joseph, and you see David and his son and his son. And if you trace it down, there was someone about to be born who was supposed to be the king of Israel. You know what his name was? Jesus. But they had lost the lineage. No one was looking. When the kings, the wise men came, they said, where is he? It shook the town. They were troubled. And King Herod, I like this, King Herod really thought he was the king. He bossed people around. He told them what to do. And he said, there's no king but me. You know, I've met people like that. Put your camera up, Veronica. Here, put that up. Post it on Instagram. Pastor's taking over the world. I can see it now. Thanks a lot. You ever meet someone who thought they were king? Can you imagine tonight if we just put this on one of our members and they walked in and started bossing people around? Kneel, I'm the king of Napa. Stand, the king of Napa's here. You'd be dragging him off to Napa State or something. Let me say this. The Bible says, thy kingdom come. There's only room for one person in the universe to sit on the throne of your heart, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the only rightful heir to the throne. There's no room for you and Jesus on the throne. And it would make a great Christmas present this year for us to take off that invisible crown and say, no longer will I be in charge. You be the king of my life. You're the rightful king. Some of us have trouble ruling our whole family, much less the whole world. And so here's King Herod. He's all uptight and all upset. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? I don't have time to turn to it. We've got about 12 minutes. But in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 4 and 5, it says, in Bethlehem, a ruler will be born. And then in Micah chapter 5, it says, is there no king in thee? It was prophesied the king would come out of Bethlehem. And then it says, O tower of the flock. That's a weird statement. Migdal Edar. It's talking about where the Passover lambs would be raised and birthed and put in a manger because they were so little. That's why the shepherds knew where Jesus was, because they went to where the Passover lambs would be born, because they knew the Lamb of God would be born there in Bethlehem. I love it. I just love it. So here's the question. Is there no king in thee? I love that song. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the king. His royal blood now flows in my veins. I'm a royal descendant of the king of Jerusalem. Two questions. That's the whole message tonight. Here it is. Is there no king in you? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? You know, we view our whole world through the eyes of how we see us. Three great commands. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor. That's everybody else. Love God with all your heart. Love everybody else with all your heart. How are you going to do that? As thyself. When you don't love you, you're going to have trouble loving anybody else. That's why it's so important before someone gets married, before someone starts a family, that they can look in the mirror of God's word and like what they see. I don't like what I was, but I like what I see now. I see a child of God. He says, now we are the sons of God. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir to heaven. I own a mansion. I am redeemed. I am forgiven. God's forgotten all my sins. God loves me. He cares about me. His son died for me. You look in the mirror, do you see a king in thee? Does he live inside of your heart? Is he your king? Are you his? You know, some of you ought to just get up every morning this Christmas and just say, he loves me. He loves me still. He loves me. He loves me still. Throw away that little flower. He loves me. He loves me not. Hey, God says, I love you. I love you still. I love you. I love you still. I love what the little boy said. He was on his daddy's lap. And his daddy said, son, I love you when you're good. The little boy looked up and said, daddy, I love you all the time. You know, I found out my heavenly daddy, my heavenly father loves me all the time. By the way, he loves you if you go to church. He loves you the same if you don't go to church. He loves you if you give. He loves you if you don't give. He loves you if you spend your life on yourself. He loves you if you spend your life on others. He has no favorites. And you don't have to do anything to earn his love. Is there no king in thee? Number two. Boy, we're going to be out of here quickly. Is there no king in thee? God wants us to see the king in others. See the king in others. Jesus, when he read the scripture, the Spirit of God has anointed me and sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He said, in his hometown, this day, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? And he said, a prophet hath no honor in his hometown. Jesus was saying, the people around you sometimes don't recognize the king in you, but others do. I was in Alaska, a couple months ago, and I was just about to catch a plane. And I met a gentleman, and I said, sir, where are you from? He said, New Jersey. I said, what do you do in New Jersey? He said, I'm a fireman. I said, how long you been a fireman? He said, about 40 years. I said, were you at 9/11? He said, I was. He said they called us. We were there as soon as the building started coming down. We were pulling people out and trying to rescue people. I just backed up and I said, thank you. I said, I'm in the presence of royalty. I'm around a man that risked his life to save people he never met. And went through a horrendous time and all the trauma after that. I saw some royalty in him. I'm hoping as we see our military and they're starting to die off, you'll see a few around town with Korea hats. You don't see the World War II hats anymore. It'll be a few Korea, then it's going to be Vietnam, and then it'll be some of the other hats. You don't see many anymore. But I'm hoping we'll still stand erect and shake their hands and say thank you for you trying to keep our country free and you never even knew me. For some people that burn a flag and do all these terrible things, you still fought for us. And I appreciate it. Thanks for keeping the country free for my kids and my grandkids. They wouldn't take me. Asthma and flat feet. You have to be able to breathe to be a soldier and walk. And they said, we don't want you. I was out soul winning years ago when we first moved here. I was at Stonehouse Apartments before they fixed them up. The man never put any repairs into the buildings. I'm with Brother John Schulte. He's here tonight. Brother Schulte's, I think, 108 right now. It's okay. He can't hear me. Brother Schulte and I were up there. See, I told you, Mike. And so here, we're soul winning. Here's Brother Schulte. And Brother Schulte's the John Wayne of our church. He's the only guy with a 66-inch chest. I mean, he's huge. He stocked drywall, 12-foot sheets of 5/8 inch, three sheets at a time, stocked it up third floor in buildings. It's Brother Schulte from Michigan. We're out soul winning. We're on the stairs at Stonehouse Apartments. I knock on the door. I say, my name is, and I started to introduce him. He disappeared. The stair broke. Brother Schulte fell. He just stuck his arms out. There he is. His little head's way down here. And my friend, Brother Schulte, he's right here. His feet are dangling in midair. I help him back up. I say, you okay? I'm fine. We finished the night. I said, look at this. Is there no king in thee? Is there no king in thee? We've got people that have come to our church through the years, single parents. I still remember Mrs. Brown coming. We named one of the buildings after her. Came over 20 years to our church. Came Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Husband wasn't interested in church. Didn't need church. And I remember Mrs. Brown fell at the house and broke her arm. Poor Miss Brown broke her arm. Came to church with a cast. And lo and behold, I look in the pew. You know who's sitting there? Dewey, her husband. I said, Dewey, what are you here for? I mean, I'm glad you're here. He said, I'm here to help her carry her songbook. She can't hold it by herself. And Brother Dewey's been coming 20 years. He told me the other night, said, thanks for being my pastor the last 20 years. I said, you sure were a hard one to get in. I see a king in thee. He rode the church bus. I'll make the story short. We had a scavenger hunt. I've told it. On the scavenger hunt, this junior high boy, 7th grade, name was Kenneth. We had to find a live cockroach. It was just part of the scavenger hunt to try to spice it up. He said, I know where a cockroach is. My house. He was so excited he could contribute. We rushed to his house, parked. He jumped out of the car, ran, kicked the door in. There's one. There's one. There's a flying one. There's a family of them. There's a big. They were everywhere. His house was infested. I looked and there was a sink full of dishes. Dishes hadn't been done in days. Dirty diapers all over the house. His little sister in the crib alone. No adult in the house. Kenneth didn't know enough to be ashamed. He captured the cockroach, and we finished the activity. My heart just sunk for him. After a while, he dropped out of church. We just couldn't keep him in. His household was too volatile. He was the type of kid, you knew what he ate all week long because he never brushed his teeth. You could smell him. He didn't bathe. No hygiene. No one ever taught him. He was maybe half boy, half animal. just raised that way. Same clothes, dirty, stinky clothes. Several years passed, and we had a visitor boy come to our church. And I said, good to have you. He had a suit on, had a Bible. I said, glad you're here. Who'd you come with? He said, I came by myself. I said, well, good to have you. What's your name? He said, you know me. I said, no, I don't know you. He said, my name's Kenneth. And it brought back horrifying memories. I said, you're not Kenneth. He said, I'm Kenneth. I said, no, you're not. I said, Kenneth, what happened to you? He said, I got a bus captain. She loves me. She bought me this suit. She taught me how to tie a tie. She bought me, get this, my first toothbrush. He's seventh grade. She taught me how to brush my teeth every day and shampoo my hair and shower every day. She said I'm going to be something one day, Brother Mike. Do you think I'm going to be something one day? A beautiful princess had humbled herself and leaned over and kissed an old, ugly toad frog that didn't have a chance in the world. You know what happened? It transformed him into a handsome prince. Why? She looked at him. She said, I don't just see a dirty bus kid. I don't see a wild kid. I see a king in thee. I think of Blandina. You wouldn't know her. She passed away in the year 177. She was a slave girl in Rome. She became a Christian. They said, deny Jesus Christ or we will kill you. They burned her at the stake after seeing 47 of her friends killed in front of her. Her last words, yes, I am a Christian. I see a king in that little slave girl. There was a guy named William Tyndale. He translated the Bible from Latin into English, which was against the law, and began smuggling it all over Europe. He died, and they hated him so much, they dug up his bones and burned them and threw them into the river. And part of our English Bible we have today is because of a man we never met named William Tyndale. There was a king in thee. I think of a young boy in foster care. His mother was murdered by his stepfather, and then the stepfather committed suicide. He was raised by foster parents and very angry. And at age 15, someone invited him to church and he got saved. Then on the other side of the world, there was a little waitress about age 15. She cleaned a table and someone left her a gospel tract and a tip. She read it and got saved. Right now, there's Pastor and Mrs. Rule who started Mount Zion Baptist Camp where Herman's life was touched and changed. Someone looked at a little boy in foster care and said, I see a king in thee. Someone looked at a little waitress, a teenage girl, and said, I see a king in thee. There was a man drowning his sorrows in a bar, drinking himself drunk, trying to get rid of his guilty conscience. His name was Tom Ray. I'm glad someone saw a king in my daddy. I think of a little girl in Colorado. She happened to live in the city called Columbine. She had been involved in the occult and witchcraft and drugs, a very troubled past. She found a church. She gave her heart to Christ. She got involved in everything that the teens were doing in that church. She started carrying her Bible to her high school, telling everyone she was a Christian and witnessing and giving the gospel out. That's when two demon-possessed teenage boys brought their guns to school that day. So they began killing the students and the teachers. She had crawled under a desk with her arms around her Bible, and they knew the little church girl. And that's when they said, do you still believe in God? She said, yes. And that's when she saw her Savior. 75,000 people came to that girl's funeral there in Colorado. Someone saw a king in that girl. She's into witchcraft. She's not perfect. Someone saw a king in her. Her name was Lottie Moon. As a young person, she felt she was supposed to go to China as a missionary. She wasn't a preacher, but she helped start churches and orphanages and got girls out of the slave trade, trafficking. They had a big famine in China, and there was not much food to go around. She started giving her food away. As she sailed back to America, she weighed 50 pounds and died on Christmas Eve on the way home. The Southern Baptists take a big offering every year. It's called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. Someone saw a king in her. Pastor, what are you trying to get at? There was a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He lived in Germany during the time of Adolf Hitler. When Hitler was just taken over and setting fire to buildings and blaming others and using his propaganda, people began praising Hitler, what a great leader he was, and how America ought to be allies with Hitler. But Bonhoeffer, as a pastor in Germany, said, he's a liar, and I know what he's going to do, and he's a communist, and he preached against him. They arrested him. He had a church service for the inmates. Then Hitler had him hung. Bonhoeffer was age 40, but a lot of people saw a king in him. What a guy. What a guy. If you'd have gone to a nightclub in Texas, you'd have seen a 21-year-old drummer with a cigarette in his mouth and a beer in his hand playing the latest hit songs. But someone saw a king in Jerry Purtell, and the guy got saved and he became an evangelist. The best I can figure, he won't say it. I think he's had 300,000 people saved in his ministry. Jerry Purtell, he's 78 now, but he's not what he used to be. Someone saw a king in thee. We had a funeral. It wasn't a funeral on Friday. I keep calling it a funeral. I think it was a wedding. I do so many funerals, it just comes out. We didn't name names of people who had invested in the young couple. Many of you would not have personally known the groom, Herman. And I always cut up with him, you know, and I'm sure he's tired of hearing Herman Munster and all that kind of stuff. First time I met him years ago, come on, Herman. A fine young man. I didn't get to tell the story. But there was a bus captain, a businessman, not a preacher, a bus captain. Just being faithful, door to door. Met a young Samoan family. Lots of kids. A mom and a dad. They didn't know anything about church. They didn't know anything about the Bible. He knocked on the door and invited them to church. It was all new to them. And it was time for church camp. Guess what the bus captain did? Paid the whole family's way to camp. Mom, dad, all the kids. Paid the whole family's way. Helped that kid get in a Christian school. His heart started changing. By the way, he felt so impressed, he asked him to be in the wedding. He was in the wedding. Hey, who are you? You're just the bus captain. But you saw a king in Herman, didn't you? And who would have ever thought Herman would one day marry one of the best girls in our church? Because someone saw a king in him. Let me say this to parents. It's time every one of us saw a king and a queen in our kids. It's time every married person in this room, you looked over. Everyone else thinks your mate's a hero and special, and it's about time. They're famous everywhere but in your house. It's time we looked and said, whoa, look who I get to live with. Unbelievable. You say, are you kidding me, Pat? I'm sorry. Look who I'm married to. When I worked on staff for Brother Buchanan, I loved his preaching. I just love that guy. He's in heaven now. Sometimes he'd go out of town to preach, and I'd be off that night, and I'd drive just to hear him preach. I'd heard him three times on Sunday, and I'd drive out of town to hear him. I remember seeing people lined up for Brother Buchanan to sign their Bibles. I'm standing there saying, our church members don't even want him to sign their Bible. He's famous because he's an hour away. He got an honorary doctorate degree. A college honored him one time, 17 hours away. My wife and I got in the car, drove all the way there just to be in the crowd and cheer him on. He never mentioned that degree either. He never told anybody he even got that. Know what it was? I saw a king in that guy. I saw a king in that guy. Would you just look around in church sometime? Well, they got my seat again. Well, see that girl that didn't even sing? Well, see that boy? And he kind of moved around. Hey, where were you when you were that age? In juvenile hall. It's time we looked around and said, boy, there's some special people related to me. There's some special people in this church. Boy, I got some special neighbors. I'll end with this. I've been working on one of my neighbors for a long time. His wife is very, very sick. He doesn't know if she's going to make it. I've been working on him 2 years. I've stopped by. When my wife went through her illness and we didn't know if she'd go to heaven or not, he'd see me and he'd come over and he hugged me. Someone I never could get to church, he just hugged me and he says, man, we're thinking about you. We brought them flowers. We brought them food. We've prayed. I saw him the other day. I said, I just want you to know, I call your name and your wife's name in prayer every single morning. I never miss praying for you guys. He said, I know it. The other day he hugged me. He says, you're such a good friend. I'm hoping one of my neighbors might see a little king, a little royalty in me one day. Is there no king in thee? Let's not live our whole life, everyone else seeing it, but us not seeing it. Let's open our eyes. Let's not file by a casket one day and say, you know, I should have told you, I never did. Hey, tell them now. And you'll be glad. Is there no king in thee? Is there no king in thee? I believe that's all it takes to change a life. Someone seeing something in us. I'll end with this. You say you've been saying that. I know, but sometimes pastors lie. I was in a car and a professor at college asked me, he said, so why are you at Bible college? I said, I'm here to study the ministry. He said, no. Who is the reason you're at Bible college? I said, Brother Smith, I felt like he saw something in me. And I bet someone sees something in you. Is there no king in the? Where is he that is born king of the Jews? If you're here tonight, and you do not know him as your Savior. It's this special thing. These kings were wealthy. They just showed up. No one invited them. It's real strange how it happened. But the King of the universe wants to live inside of you. He wants to forgive your sins because he's paid for them. He wants to take you to heaven one day. And it's yours by just receiving him tonight by faith. You could do that. You could leave tonight saying, I'll be seeing the king one day. I'll be seeing him face to face.